You know how we Lutherans love to do catechesis in the question and answer format. Well, I was looking at the catechism on the third commandment. By the way, you do know, of course, that this material in the book of Exodus is not really commandments at all in the strict sense of the term. Rather, they are statements of the principles that are to shape the life of the people of God. And that's why the text calls them devarim, statements, instead of mitzvot, commandments. But that's another topic for another day. Anyway, as I was saying, when I was looking at this material the other day, I realized that there were three very important questions about this text that are missing from the catechism. One, why is the third principle the longest of the ten principles? Well, it turns out that the answer to this one is pretty easy. You know that in narrative and in dialogue, one of the ways that authors highlight the importance of something is by the space they devote to it. In general, the longer the discussion of something, the more significant it is for the narrative. So it's at least quite likely that the length of the third principle is a way of highlighting its importance. Now, you already know that the Shabbat, the day of rest, is pretty important for the faith of the Tanakh. So recognizing that the length of the passage is a way of signaling its importance is not something that's going to strike you as shockingly new. But thinking about it might just prompt you to ask a second question. Two, why does this principle fall where it does in the sequence of the ten principles? Now, this one's a little trickier because there are several possibilities for why authors arrange material in the way that they do. So let's think about the logic behind the way that the ten principles are organized. In general, the ten principles governing the life of the people of God in Exodus 20 fall into three groups. Verses 1 to 11 are focused on those principles that are to guide the relationship between God and his people. Verses 12 to 16 are focused on the principles that are to guide the relationships among God's people, that is, the relationships with one another. Verse 17 is focused on the believer himself, that is, on the internal attitude or state of the heart or the motivations that shape the actions of each individual believer. Third principle stands at the end, the conclusion of this first group. So if we look at this section in more detail, we'll see that all of those principles deal with what we might broadly call worship. The first principle is that Yahweh's people are to worship him alone. The second principle and the third principle both deal with how the people of God are to carry out the exclusive worship of the one true God. The second principle presents us with the negative side of the equation, what God's people are not to do in worshiping him. The third principle provides us with the positive side of the equation, what should God's people do in worshiping him? Now, there's a lot of theology at work here, and we don't have time to go into any depth about the biblical theology behind the concept of Shabbat here. But recognizing the importance of this principle because of the length, and recognizing the place that it plays in the logic of the passage, pushes us directly to ask the third question. Why does the explanation for the reason for observing the day of rest as given in the Exodus 20 version of the Ten Principles differ from the reason that's given for observing the day of rest in the Deuteronomy 5 version of the Ten Principles. Now, you may have previously noticed that the second and third principles, the two that deal with how God is to be worshiped, are the only principles that have reasons attached to them. And the reasons given for these two principles are connected to God, not to us. They're shaped by God's character and by God's work. And this is the point at which the reasons given for the third principle differ. Here in Exodus 20, the positive statement about how God's people are to worship him is rooted in God's creative activity. In Deuteronomy 5, the positive statement about how the people of God are to worship him is rooted in God's redemptive work. And this is one of the keys to understanding both the theology of Shabbat in the scriptures and what Jesus did by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. The state of Shabbat, or rest, was the end result of God's creative work. You know from elsewhere in the Bible that this state of Shabbat was corrupted by the sin of Adam and Eve. And you know from your own experience and by observing the world around you that it continues to be corrupted by our ongoing rebellion against God, by our invention and worship of other gods whose names are empty and worthless, by failing to respect and care for those for whom God has placed over us to nurture us and protect us, by violence against and by neglecting to care for the welfare of our neighbor, by misuse and perversion of God's gift of human sexuality, by taking what is not ours, by lying, and by wanting what we want for ourselves rather than what God wants for us. In every one of the thousands of ways that we all do these things, we continue to corrupt God's gift of Shabbat. But the point of observing a day of rest is not just to remind us what we have lost. We really don't need that, do we? After all, we see it every night on the evening news. We experience it in our bodies. We weep over it when we lay a loved one in the grave. You live with the loss of Shabbat every day. The point of the two different explanations for the third principle is that observing an ongoing day of rest not only reminds us of what is lost, the Exodus 20 explanation, but also gives us hope. Hope that this damned world is not the end. The Deuteronomy 5 reason for observing the day of rest. God has not abandoned you to that corruption. God became man in Jesus Christ in order to die, that he might take the corruption of your sin upon himself, and rose from the dead to declare God's victory over death, the death that is the end result of all our rebellion against God. The day of rest brings God's creative work and his redemptive work together to bear witness to Jesus, through whom God has brought you back to Shabbat. In Jesus, God gives you a Shabbat life, a life of rest and peace in him, a life whose mission and purpose are the extension of God's kingdom of Shabbat to every person whose life your life touches. And so here's a bonus. We'll call it an extra credit question for you. How do we honor the third principle? It turns out that the answer to this question is pretty easy also. The author of the book of Hebrews says it in a perfectly straightforward way in chapter 4, verse 3, when he says, "For we who have believed enter that rest." Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth died for your sins and was raised from the dead so that you could be right with God? Well, do you? This is not a rhetorical question. I want to know. I want to hear you say it. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
That was about half of you, I think. Let's just try this one more time. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Good. You had me worried there for a minute. Look, I know you're all good Germans, but you know, there's really nothing wrong with confessional Lutherans actually confessing Jesus. Or if there is, I'm sure somebody will tell me about it later. You confess that you believe, and the Word of God says that you who believe have entered God's rest. By your faith in Jesus, you keep the third principle. And nothing, not the corruption of the world in which we live, not Satan and all the devils of hell, can take that Shabbat rest away from you. So go in peace, rest in God's grace, and share the good news of the eternal Shabbat in Jesus with others. In his name, amen.